Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are joining us in person and all of you who are joining us online. We have just a few announcements this morning. In 2 weeks, it is going to be our annual Christmas in July worship service. This has become a fun tradition here at Holly Grove. So if you don't know where it is, dig out your fun Christmas shirts, because we want you to wear them that Sunday. The day before, if you'd like to join us and help decorate here at the church for that service, we'll be doing that at 10. You can bring Christmas trees, lights, any other Christmas things that you would like. Next Sunday, the church council will be having an extended meeting as assistant to the bishop, Pastor Cassie Overcash, joins us to help us begin to have conversations about our core values. This is to help us really think about who we are at this point in time as a congregation and what that might mean for how we move forward and how we are church for the world, not just in the present, but in the future. This is sort of simultaneously happening as we are beginning to do some revisions on our church constitution updates. Our constitution is intended to be updated every 3 years after each churchwide assembly, and it hasn't been done since 2010. So one, those updates need to be made. But there are several things in our constitution that just don't fit us anymore and where we're at. For example, I think there are outlines for 14 different committees. And if I could find 14 different people to serve on committees, we'd be in great shape. So there are just some things that have changed over the years that we need to sort of alter to make fit for now and going forward in the future. So just wanted to give you a heads up about that. This Wednesday, our senior citizens group is meeting. We usually meet at the office complex and have potluck, but we're going to meet here at the fellowship hall and have our potluck because Judy is going to join us and offer us a program where we sing our camp songs and VBS songs. We're going to have a brief little VBS time for the adults on Wednesday. So if you'd like to join us, even if you don't usually join us, it'll be a very joyful time of singing those songs that you probably know by heart. I have a card here from Judy and Lindsay and Caroline and this family of Scott Black that says, "Dear Holly Grove Church family, words cannot express our gratitude for the outpouring of love and support you've shown our family during this difficult time. The prayers, kind words, visits, cards, and delicious foods and meals were a great comfort to us. Thank you for your love and being a light during our grief. With love, Judy, Lindsay, Caroline, and the family of Scott Black." Well, as we all know, grief doesn't end just a couple weeks after somebody dies or the funeral, and so our love for all of you will continue as you journey through grief. We have a couple of birthdays this week, Anderson Conrad and Nathan Baker. And remembering their baptism, Mandy Fritz, Taylor Fritz, and Eddie Heitman. Let's pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we have a beautiful prayer shawl this morning. Madison Lore Pope has a brand new baby brother who is fresh out of the NICU. She sent me a picture of herself holding him, and he is indeed a tiny, tiny peanut. And so this is a blanket, but also kind of a prayer shawl for him as he continues to grow and become stronger. His name is Ryder. You want to pray with me, Brantley? God, thank you for the gift of prayer and for our prayer shawl ministry. We ask that you would bless Ryder, that he would grow just as Jesus did, in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with you and all people. May he, by your Holy Spirit, feel comfort and love as this surrounds him now as a newborn, and as he drags it around as he gets older as a toddler and kid. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Baptized into Christ, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, you free us to love others, but we neglect our neighbors and follow our own way. You lead us by the Spirit of joy and peace, but we turn away from the abundant life you offer. You surround us with patience, kindness, and generosity, but we grow weary in doing what is right. In your mercy, forgive us. Do not give up on us. Heal us, break our bonds, and show us the path of life. Amen. You belong to Christ Jesus, and you are God's children through faith. In the cross of Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. Clothed with Christ, you are a new creation. Amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, your mercy delights us, and the world longs for your loving care. Hear the cries of everyone in need, and turn our hearts to love our neighbors with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. And I think today it's Brantley and Maddie. Hi, Maddie. Good morning. I'm so excited to see you today. I've actually already been praying for you this morning, because in a little bit you're going to sing for us, right? I'm really excited. But I've been praying that, just in case you're a little nervous, that God will give you peace. Well, I wanted to tell you a little bit about how thankful we are that you are part of our church family, you and Brantley and all of the children. And when you go to children's church in a few minutes, we're going to read a scripture out loud where the Apostle Paul is writing to a church, and he tells them how thankful he is for them and that he never stops praying for them. And when you were baptized, one of the things that our church family did was they promised that they were going to love you and care for you and pray for you and support you as you grow older and as you grow in your faith. And so I don't know if you think about that on a daily basis, maybe not, but your church family loves you very much, and we pray for you. And I pray for everybody at least one time every week. And then if the Holy Spirit brings you to my mind or my heart, I pray for you more than that. But I pray for you at least once a week, and I thank God for you, and I ask God to help make you grow strong and grow in love and kindness. And so I was wondering if today all of us could pray for you together. Would that be okay? So congregation, you're going to repeat after me while we pray a prayer of thanksgiving for Maddie and Brantley. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Thank you for Maddie and Brantley. For their strong bodies, their smart minds, and their kind hearts. We ask that you would help them to continue to grow in their love and knowledge of you, and that you would continue to give them patience and love and joy in their hearts. Continue to give them love, and joy in their hearts. Thank you for the gift of Maddie and Brantley, and all our people. We love you, God. In your name, we pray and play. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up this morning, dear ones. You are a gift to me and to all of us, as always. And I think Kelly has children's church today, and I know she always brings really good snacks, so.
The New Testament lesson is from Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But, wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near to him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity, with great compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Sunday school for the last few weeks, and I would say we are just getting started, we are talking about what we know now as the Bible and how it came to be what we know as the Bible. How did it go from someone writing on papyrus, or the plural papyri, to what we have today? As I was studying for today's Sunday school lesson, I was reminded of another detail that I want to make sure that I share with you. And that is, chapter numbers and verses are not original to the Bible. They never appeared in the original Hebrew or Greek texts. In fact, the ancient manuscripts didn't even use punctuation or spaces or paragraph divisions in their writing. What we have today is not what it would have looked like then. Chapter numbers were added to the Bible in the year 1227 by Stephen Langton, who was then the Archbishop of Canterbury. It wasn't for 300 more years, until the verse numbers were added by a French printer named Robert Estienne. These ways of dividing up the text gained acceptance as a standard way to notate the verses, and have since been used in nearly all English Bibles, and the vast majority of Bibles in other languages. I think that's kind of interesting. Something else that's not original to the text are the headings that are often given above stories or chapters in Scripture. Often a chapter will have a heading above it that gives a sense of what it might be about. These headings are not original to the text. They are given by the publisher who publishes that particular Bible. They're intended to be guidelines, but Sometimes they can be misleading, and sometimes they can give the reader the idea that the heading means a new section or a new thought, when actually it's a continuation of a previous thought. If I were to ask you what today's gospel lesson was about, or what heading should be above this story, what would you say? The Good Samaritan. Kim gets extra credit today. Yes, oh, Joyce did. Okay, they collaborated together. Right? In our brains, this story is the story of the Good Samaritan. And in large part, that is because in many of the English translations that we grew up with and might still have, it says the Good Samaritan above this story. But although this is one of the most recognizable stories in all of Scripture, I learned something new about this story this week. In one of my study resources, the heading was different, and it made me stop and think about this story in a way that I hadn't before. The heading that they gave this story wasn't the Good Samaritan, it was the Merciful Samaritan. And I don't know why I hadn't thought of that before, because it's actually right there in the text, right? When Jesus asks the lawyer, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The lawyer's response is, the one who showed him mercy. The Merciful Samaritan. You know, in recent months, mercy has gotten a little bit of a bad rap. But the truth about what we believe about mercy is that it is one of the very characteristics of God. God is merciful. In fact, I went through our bulletin and I lost track over 30. But just in today's service and bulletin alone, more than 30 times we call God merciful. Merciful God. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Kyrie eleison, have mercy. Mercy is who God is. And not just in our bulletin, but in the Old Testament alone, mercy, the word for mercy, is used more than 250 times. To describe God. God is merciful. In the Bible, in the Hebrew, the word that is translated into mercy is also and could be translated into steadfast love, kindness, compassion, goodness, faithfulness, grace, loyalty, loving kindness. This one word is so full of meaning, it's more a concept than just a vocabulary word. Mercy equals this. It's more of a broad concept, because mercy is all of these things. Mercy is also not a feeling. It is an action. Mercy is completely undeserved kindness and generosity. Mercy is God's tender-hearted, deep, and loving compassion. Mercy describes who God is and how God acts toward us. And we're told in Micah 6:8, "What, O mortal, what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Brothers and sisters, we are called to love God's tender-hearted, deep, and loving compassion. And we are called to mirror and to reflect God's mercy in our relationship with others and the world. So in today's gospel lesson, that lawyer was trying to trick Jesus when he asked him what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And he responded when Jesus asked him with the answer, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." It reminds me in 1 John 4, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, where it says, "We say we love God, but if we don't love our brother, then we don't love God. We can't love God without loving our neighbor as well." God's desire for humankind is summed up in the law, in this law, the greatest commandment. But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asks, "Who? Who is my neighbor? Who?" The lawyer is like us, right? Yeah, we know we are supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, but really, who is our neighbor? And perhaps what we're really asking when we ask who is our neighbor, we're really asking who isn't our neighbor. We want to know who our neighbor isn't, so that we don't have to be on the lookout for them, so that we can walk by and ignore them, so that we can dismiss them without having to feel too much guilt or remorse, so that we can swipe past a news story, or so that we can even turn the channel because something is too hard to watch. But Jesus doesn't offer words to justify the lawyer or us. Instead, he points out our selfishness and our pride and our prejudice. He tells us the story of the merciful Samaritan. And basically, the only qualification for neighborness is someone who is suffering, and someone who is vulnerable, and someone who is in need. All the other definitions humans can create for a neighbor fall away in light of Jesus' description. All the lines and the barriers and the walls, all of it falls away, because any division that or reason that we can come up with as to why someone isn't our neighbor cannot stand in the presence of God's love. Jesus speaks of someone who is merciful in spite of differences by describing a neighborly love that is borderless, that is selfless, that is deeply kind and compassionate. Where it says in the English he had pity, that word can also be translated as compassion, but it's more than that. It's a deep aching in someone's inner workings, in their bowels, because they feel so much compassion. That's the neighborly love that Jesus is talking about. It's so generous and so expansive that for the good of the other, it reaches across every single boundary that humans can create. And with this description and story from Jesus, we realize, and perhaps quite uncomfortably realize, that being a neighbor isn't about who we are or who someone else is, but it is about action and doing. Being merciful and doing mercy. Which brings us back to that word mercy again. Jesus tells the story of some very religious and pious men walking by, and they walk right past the man who had been stripped and beaten, who was so wounded that he was half dead. They walked right by. And then a Samaritan, an enemy, an outsider in every way, an enemy comes along and cares for the man. Jesus asks the lawyer, "Of all the people in that story, which one is the neighbor? And the lawyer replies, quite uncomfortably, the one who showed mercy. The one who acted with compassion and kindness and love and generosity. The one who acted out of love toward his enemy. That's the one who showed mercy. And although Jesus' answer is quite simple, it's a lot harder to live out. But still he says to that lawyer, go and do likewise. Brothers and sisters, we are called not to walk by, not to ignore, not to dismiss those who are suffering, vulnerable, or in need. We are called not to dismiss them, whether or not we like them or not, whether or not they are our enemies. Regardless of whatever reason we can come up with in our mind why we shouldn't love them and why we shouldn't be merciful to them, it doesn't matter. Because God is deeply merciful to us, and we don't deserve that either. But we are called to be merciful in spite of differences. We're called to love as God does, with a neighborly love that is borderless, that is selfless, deeply kind and compassionate, and so expansive that it reaches across every single line and wall and boundary and barrier that humans can create. This is who God is, and we can't deny that. And we also can't deny that this is who God calls us to be. And so may God help us to be merciful to others, just as God is merciful to us. Beloved children of God, we need to go and do likewise. Amen.
Living together in trust and hope, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Drawn into the embrace of the Holy Trinity, we lift our prayers for the wholeness of the Church, the world, and all creation. Saving God, awaken your Church to your truth as it follows your path of love and mercy. Encourage pastors, deacons, teachers, and seminarians, and lead them as they seek to learn your ways. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Prosper the harvest of fruit-bearing bushes, trees, and plants. Uphold farmers and farm workers as they labor through summer days, and bring relief to lands that are parched with heat. God, in your mercy, instill in leaders of the world a strong love for their neighbors. Compel them to govern with equity and to give aid and protection to people who are vulnerable, especially strangers, migrants, and asylum seekers. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Draw near to people in need of help, comfort, and healing, especially Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Eddie, Pam, Dottie, Bobby, the family of Scott Black, Bob, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Provide protection and aid to children who are unsafe and undernourished while on summer break. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Go with all who travel and protect them from harm. Put in their paths people who offer aid. We pray especially for the safety of first responders. God, in your mercy, we give you thanks for all who have gone before us and have made your love known through showing mercy. Help us to follow their witness as we await our share in the inheritance of the saints. God, in your mercy,
gather all our prayers in your mercy, O God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Judy.
Peace be with you.
Oh,
No, you're fine. That was wonderful. Wisdom,
you bring forth all that is good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Pastor Tim last week shared in the children's sermon what this garment is that I'm wearing, but I'll offer a reminder. This is called a chasuble. And throughout the church, there are all kinds of symbols that help us think about what we do and who God is. And if we see a cup somewhere, we think of communion and bread. A chasuble is a visual reminder that in communion, just as I'm covered with this chasuble, we are covered with God's love and grace. And this is a special moment for me because of all the times I've dreamed about wearing a chasuble. Not that it makes me any more of a pastor, but this is the first time that I'm wearing a chasuble. So thank you to Pastor Tim for this gift. But it's meant to be a visual reminder that in communion we are covered with God's love and grace. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. All praise to you, glorious God of grace. Throughout the ages, you have blessed us with foremothers of the faith. With Sarah, we bless you for your gift of life. With Ruth, we praise you for family and food. With Miriam, we celebrate our escape from the foe. Remembering Deborah, we honor the words of your prophets. Remembering the woman at the well, we laud you for living water. Remembering Junia, we thank you for those who minister among your people. One with the daughter of Jairus, we wake to life in you. With Mary, we magnify your name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Remembering Martha and Mary, we join Jesus at this meal. Living, he healed the bleeding woman. Dying, he cared for his mother. Risen, he sent Mary Magdalene in mission. On the night before he died, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With Mary, again, we magnify your name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mighty God of mercy, as you heard the prayers of Hannah, so now hear us. Send your spirit on this bread and wine, that sharing the body and blood of Christ, we become his body in the world. Send your spirit on this assembly, that like Phoebe, we serve one another with zeal. Send your spirit on the church that, like Anna, we tell others of your mercy. Send your spirit into our hearts that, like Dorcas, we care for the poor and needy. All praise to you, powerful God of peace. We adore you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You who mother and feed and comfort us today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The kingdom of God is set before you. Eat and rejoice.
Come, we are
Stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together.
Mothering God, you gathered us to your table, and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves, and proclaim your love in Jesus' name. Amen. The love of God abound in you. The grace of our Savior Jesus Christ fill your hearts, and the life of the Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen.
Let's say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Peace, we by the Spirit.
Thanks.